afternoon. I'll let you all pray for me that I'll be lovable. Something up on the board. By God's help, that's what we're going to try to talk about. Let's add another prayer to that one that's already been prayed today. Great and mighty God.
Yes, Lord, have mercy.
Thank you for the times you blessed us in the past.
Yes.
But Lord, we need you today.
Yes,
Father, we ask you to anoint.
Yes, Lord.
To bless.
Lord.
To help. Lord, we don't want to be wasting anyone's time today. We need the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We need you to aid us.
Yes, sir.
To accomplish something good. At this hour of worship time.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask that you'll help us to trust the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
To do what you want to do and accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Yes.
We need you so much.
Amen,
Lord. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. The use of words is a common way to communicate.
Yes.
And the power and impact and effect that it can have on a person can be tremendous.
Yes.
Have you ever watch somebody that was embarrassed change their color of face by something that had been spoken to them?
Yeah.
Have you ever observed someone laughing after they heard something humorous or funny? They have people that are paid to make people laugh.
Right.
And the words that they speak, well, they have people paid to write funny things, and then they have people paid to say these funny things, and then they get the laughter.
Mm-hmm.
So words can promote laughter.
Yes.
And words can also incite anger, arguments, can produce anger, and anger can produce some deadly results sometimes. Sometimes words can start and get heated and heated and heated and accelerated and accelerated, and finally somebody ends up in a fight, and then somebody loses their life. So words are powerful, and they can affect a person very deeply. And they can cause emotional pain. You ever been hurt by something that somebody said? You don't have to raise your hand. But they can be hurtful words spoken and cause emotional pain.
Yes, that's true.
Take a man that's married and he's trying to secure a board, and he's got a hammer and a nail, and he hammers and he hits the wrong nail. He hits the thumbnail. And oh, he grabs it and holds it, and it feels like his heart's beating in his thumb. And there's blood that collects under the nail and a pressure there. Oh, it hurts so bad. That's a physical pain. And he feels it. It's real. But after so long a time, that pain subsides and he forgets about it. It's never there, except in looking at the collection of blood. And that same man, his wife can tell him that she wishes she had married somebody else. And the somebody else she says she wished she would married is his close friend. And then she goes on to just tell him the reasons that she wishes she had married him And she accelerates the man that she wished she had married, his strong points, and she downs his weak points. He can't grab his heart like he did his thumb. But the emotional pain is as real as that thumb that was injured. And he can carry that unless he gets victory over for the rest of his life. Amen. Words can cause emotional pain. And I was at a place one time, and the altar call was given, and an older man come and bowed at the altar. And I went there, and his wife also come and bowed down there. And I asked them about staying after service. And this man had been hurt by his wife. Something that she had said hurt him very deeply. And you know, it wasn't just yesterday or the day before, but I don't know how long it was that he had been carrying the hurt around. It was real. See, the pain that you hurt your hand or hit the wrong nail and hit the wrong thing that causes you pain can go away. But that emotional pain is something that without God's grace and help can linger on and on and on and on. And perhaps it's those that are closest to you that can cause you the deepest emotional pain and discomfort. Someone said that's so? And so words can be very, very painful. There have been children that their parents have said things to them that has hurt them very deeply and affected their life. They didn't know how to resort to God for healing of the hurts. And even children can be very cruel in the remarks they make to other children.
That's right.
There's a track about a boy named Tommy Brown, and he was the son of a drinking man, and he didn't start school until he would have been 9 the next birthday he had. And the first day he went to school, he was just wanting to go to school so bad, but he had, at times past, stayed to help his mother who took in laundry. And so this one year, she was going to let him go to school, and she patched up some clothes for him, and he had a raggedy hat and a home-cut haircut, and they went off to school. And so the teacher was questioning him. And as she was questioning him, some boys started making some unkind remarks. Remember, children, be careful what you say to other children.
Yes.
And so these unkind remarks was just overwhelming to this little boy. And he suppressed a cry, and he went out of the room and out of sight. And he went home with a broken heart, and he started crying. His mother could not comfort him. And she was wanting him to stop crying because she felt as though when her husband come home that there would be problems. And sure enough, he come home, he was drunk. He got the little boy and started whipping him. He fell and struck his head. And the mother, as she was telling this to his teacher, the lady would have been a teacher, she supposed he would have been sick, but he never did recuperate, and he died. See, children, be careful what you say to other children. Remember those children that come out and made fun of Elisha? And God didn't like it at all, and he allowed some bears to come out and destroy those children. So words are very powerful. They can do a lot of harm, and they can do a lot of good.
Yes.
David's desire was, in the 19th chapter of Psalms, in the 14th verse, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer."
Yes.
Now, it means much to have our words acceptable unto God.
Yes.
And in the course of a week's time, if a person isn't a real extrovert or introvert,
yes,
they probably say thousands of words a week.
That's true.
Yes. Did you ever think about that?
Yes.
How many words you speak? And I believe that somebody had some statistics that it was thousands of words a day.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It is thousands
yes.
of words a day. Well, it means a whole lot to have thousands of words a day spoken and every one of them be acceptable with God.
Yeah.
That's a challenge, folks, isn't it?
Yes.
Is there a place that says every idle word
yes.
will be given account of
right.
in the day of judgment?
So.
Every one of them? Thousands of words a day spoken, and God's approval on every single one of them. This was this writer's desire. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable.
Yes.
Let's all say that together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Powerful are words. In this world we have different types of power. There is nuclear power. There is political power. The power in which an individual has enough support to get himself elected to an office.
Yes.
That's political power. And then in the world that we live in, there is military power.
Yes.
Where one nation has military capabilities of blowing another nation, many of the inhabitants away.
Yes.
Or causing their death. Military power. There is also police power. Yeah, if you don't believe that, go 95 miles down the freeway and look in your rear view mirror. And if you see a black and white car with something revolving around like a light on top of it, if you're wise, you'll pull off to the side of the road. Now that's power, isn't it? You can see all kinds of colors of car and they not affect you when you look in the rear view mirror. But you see that particular kind of car with that particular kind of light and it's going to affect you, isn't it? If you've been going 95 miles an hour. You know you're guilty. What is the speed limit in California?
70.
And they, without laying a hand on you, can get you to pull off the side of the road, and you don't want to. That's power, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I was in a situation one time. We were going to Los Angeles, Sister Betty Parks and I was. And this car we was in was a borrowed car, and we started accelerating. You ever been in a runaway car? You probably won't want that kind of excitement. Here we was in this runaway car. It was accelerating. We got to an area where they wanted the speed slowed down. Sister Betty was trying and trying, and we ended up hitting something, and we ended up over here, if it was a center medium or whatever. Anyway, over on the other side was the opposite moving traffic. However far we was from it, God knows. But anyway, finally, she got the thing. I think she used the emergency brake. Anyway, we got stopped over here. Well, that's not an ideal place to be on the Golden State Freeway. So we sat there a while, and finally Sister Betty, she went to a call box, and she hazarded her life. She went through some lanes of traffic to get across. And after a while, there was a female highway patrol woman that come up behind us. And she may have called for assistance, and then there was a male highway patrolman. He came on the scene after a while. And they was able to do something that I wouldn't have attempted to do. They stopped all the lanes on that freeway. And the female highway patrol come up, and she pushed us over to the side. Well, you know, those folks didn't want to have their Sunday morning drive interrupted by all the lanes of traffic closed down. But the police power was there. And they closed down, and we got safely across in that vehicle. That's power. But you know, there's a greater power than that. It says, a soft answer turneth away what?
Wrath.
Wrath is a strong emotional feeling. Very strong. But this soft answer, would it do injustice in saying it turns it off? It turns it away. Whichever you prefer, and wouldn't do injustice. It has a powerful impact on wrath. A soft answer turneth away wrath. That is power. Amen. That is a good power. That is a blessed power. Words that are spoken in a softness can have a power in them, and they can also possess healing power. The words of the song says, guide my words that they be spoken in such kind and loving way, they may heal a heart that's broken. Here's somebody got hurt by what somebody said, and they just got a broken heart. Their heart's just broken. And somebody comes along and has some fitting, appropriate, God-anointed words, and it just heals. This heart that was broken, it just heals it. And then it says, someone's darkness turn to that. Now that is power, folks. That someone is enveloped in darkness, gloom, doom, despair, despondency, doubts, fears, anxieties, in a darkened condition, but the power of the words that is spoken can turn those into day. Folks, that's a wonderful power, isn't it? I read about a minister that was effective in another century, Charles Spurgeon. And he was going to preach at a certain place, and prior to the message he was going to preach, he went to test the acoustics. And while the way he was testing them was to say the scripture, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I don't know if he repeated it, But he said that scripture. And unbeknownst to him, there was a worker in the building. And that scripture, those words that he spoke, touched his heart. Mm-hmm. And he got saved. Amen. There's power in the anointed Word of God.
That's true.
Just hearing that. And I don't know that there was anything else. He wasn't expounding, but he spoke that scripture, and it broke through that man's sinful heart. It means something to speak with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Ministers need the Holy Spirit anointing.
Amen.
To break through the spirits and the powers and the hard hearts that they have to preach through. Amen. They need the power of the Holy Ghost to back up the spoken word that will break the bands and lose captivated souls. That's a power that God's ministers need. So there is great power in words to be able to turn someone's darkness into day and to heal someone's broken heart. Has anyone ever come up unto you and said, "I'm praying for you"? Does it do something for you? Yes. It's out here in California. The last time I was out here, Brother Bob Mickelson stopped in the home there and we visited for a while. He says, "I pray for you every day." That's something, folks. I pray for you every day. May God help us that through the aid of the Holy Spirit, out of our life will flow healing words, encouraging words, uplifting words, words that will help and lift up. Not putting down,
yes, Lord,
but lifting up.
Amen.
You know, Jesus wanted to lift people up,
yes,
to a higher plane to help them. May God give us that desire.
Amen.
To be like Him.
Yes.
May God help us that our words will not be careless.
Amen.
Have you ever spoke something and regretted it later?
Yes.
Has something you said got you in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Just the other night, I said something, and it was something, well, anyway, I want God's blessings.
Amen.
I want His approval,
yes,
upon my words.
Amen.
Some scripture says, "Be swift to hear,
yes,
and slow to speak."
Yes.
If every idle word's going to be given account of, Lord, help us.
Amen.
Lord, bless us.
Yes.
Now, we heard last night that God is love, and that He is. But you know, God hates too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Proverbs, there are some things named that God hates. And before I sit down, somebody read the 6th chapter and the 19th verse of Proverbs. And I'm going to ask for some discussion on this verse.
A false witness that speaketh lies,
mm-hmm,
and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Now this is in that list.
Yes.
Might read the 16th verse.
These six things doth the Lord hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, seven are an abomination unto him.
Yes.
And now you could read that 19th verse again.
A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brothers.
That sowing discord among brethren. What are your thoughts? Now, this is God that loves, yet he hates discord sowing.
Yes.
What is it that is discord? What could fall under that category of sowing discord? When a person sows seeds, a lot of times there is more reaping than of just that one seed that is sown, right?
Yes.
So when someone sows discord, if they sow it with one brother and he gets all agitated and he gets all riled up and he gets all worked up and he goes and sows it to his friend, and it has a ripple effect, and it just affects and affects and affects. God hates this, doesn't he? Our God of love, our God of wisdom and mercy, hates discord.
Yes, that's right.
And he does not like it to be sown. What is discord? Sunday school teachers? Ministers?
Mr. Lawson, I was thinking about the scripture that says, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. Sometimes in people's lives, things will happen. And instead of us covering that up, it can be repeated. And in some situations, if we just give God time to work those situations out, people's lives, they'll work that out with God. And sometimes we can repeat that to other people instead of praying for them and keeping that thing covered up. And it'll cause discord. Somebody else will hear something about it, and that person's already right with God. That situation's already been taken care of. It causes disharmony in the body.
Could do damage to the person that's got clear with God, too, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Any other?
Or discord, an off note, causes off notes, disharmony, supporting the thought that Brother Jason just mentioned. It says, he that repeated the matter separated friends, discord, separation. So I know, me personally, some of the times that I've caused the greatest hurt or distress with my words was not something I initiated or said, but I was repeating something that was said by somebody else. And that can cause a discord, a separation.
There's a scripture that says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out.
Mm-hmm.
So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth.
Suppose someone gets upset over something that's happened to them, or someone they know about, and they start telling people that they have an influence on, and that affects them. Could that be sowing discord?
Yeah. Give another example, Miss Mary. With the ministers, you know, everybody talks about the ministers. You know, everybody has their preference. But when people, I've heard things about someone, and they make it up, I'm already seeing them through certain eyes based on what I've heard other people tell me. And I may have not, maybe I didn't understand right. And I may not be able to receive the blessing like the Lord wants to give to me, because I'm having to try to work through all these things that I've already heard or understood.
So can you see why God hates it? He hates it. He hates it. Suppose someone starts something controversial And there can be some agree with their controversial stance. And they bring that out, either in a group or with private individuals. Can that be sowing discord? God don't like it, does he? He hates it. So there are different ways that discord can be sown. God hates it. And it causes problems. Deep problems.
Sister Mary, I'd like to say about sowing discord that this scripture that we read and the thought that we're looking at, it is something that is calculated and intentional. Okay, so we need to recognize that this is what God hates. Sometimes our words, we say things and they cause clashes, they cause things, and I had no intention of my words doing that.
Yes.
And so there's a difference, but he's hating this kind of attitude of somebody who is calculating, sitting down and saying, I'm going to get these folks divided. How am I going to do it? Just like Balaam did the children of Israel. He told Balak, what you got to do. If you want to get them, this is how you do it. And he sowed that. Mm-hmm. So it was a calculated thing. Just wanted to say that.
Well, if God hates it, should we hate it?
Amen. Yeah. Should make us real careful with our words. And hey, we didn't, like Brother Hayward said, they're calculated, but should give us caution when we do talk if we're sure we're not sowing discord.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to have every word acceptable and God's approval on every word we say. And that's what the writer wanted. And that's what God wants too. But he wants his people's words to be acceptable and approved of him. Now, before we close, Isaiah had a conviction from God in the 6th chapter of Isaiah.
Yes.
He was the cousin of the king, and the king had died, and he had clear facts in his mind that this event that happened to him happened in the year that King Uzziah died.
Yes.
Perhaps he was feeling a need, or at any rate, God allowed him to have something special happened to him.
Yeah.
He was able to see the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
And the Lord of glory was high and lifted up. And Isaiah was intent on everything that was happening. And he described it, how these angels was and what they were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and how it affected the doorpost, and in this holy presence, in this environment and atmosphere, God convicted Isaiah of the way he'd been talking. Amen? And he didn't verbally tap him on the shoulder and say that you have a filthy mouth. But in this atmosphere, in this environment, he felt him. His own conviction was, woe is me. He felt a very deep sense of conviction.
Yes.
Woe is me. He says, for I am undone.
Yes.
For I am a man of unclean lips. He was honest. after he was convicted.
Yes.
And he confessed it. And you know, after his confession, God sent the cure.
Yes.
And the cure was the fire cure.
Yes.
There was an altar with coals on it, and one of these seraphims come and took a hot coal off of that and took it towards Isaiah. He could have started backing up and said, "Oh, Lord, no. I made my confession. I'm sorry. But the cure is going to hurt."
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. He stood there and took it like a man, and he put the coal right on the place of his lips.
Mm-hmm.
He was convicted of the way he had been talking. We live in a world where people's talk is awful.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's awful. Why, even on the radio, some of the things that they say.
That's true.
They used to have somewhat of restraint and restrictions on things that was publicly spoken in that form of communication. But nowadays, it's terrible. Well, this is the way the world goes, folks. But may God help us. And this apparently, perhaps, was a time he says, "I dwell amongst people." And they're affected too. But his confession was of his own self too. And God gave him the cure. And he changed him that day. And he never had to do it anymore.
Amen.
He made him different that day.
Yes.
And then after that difference was made, he was able to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me."
Yes.
People that the Lord sends needs God's help.
Yes.
To help them to say the right things. The right time, in the right spirit. And right down here, giving advice at the altar is a crucial place to tell people life-changing things or things that affect them personally. May God help us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Pray for me. Pray for me that I'll be like Brother Jason said, lovable. That I'll have a lovable personality and that God's blessings will be upon my life and that he will bless the thoughts of have been spoken today.
Amen.